www.ifpb.org.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program today, film critic Dan Hudak previews the Miami Short Film Festival. Pam Dearden shares her excitement about a new season of Swing from the Gold Coast Jazz Society. Our Broward Arts calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Now, arts contributor Judith Bishop previews the new performance season from a treasured South Florida not-for-profit.
It's autumn in Miami, and that means the new art season is underway. Local groups have been working for months to pack their calendars with exciting music, dance, and theater. Today, we'll take a look at the wide variety of programs sponsored by the Miami Light Project. The group has been a major player on the art scene here since 1989. They're a nonprofit organization spotlighting artists from South Florida and artists from around the world. Another big component of their program is community outreach, with educational programs for students of all ages. The Miami Light Project is headed by Beth Boone, who believes her mission is to offer a multicultural art forum exploring the issues that define our society. Miss Boone earned a master's degree in theater from Brandeis University and was artist in residence there for 1 year. Next, she moved to New York, where she worked with AT&T's Arts and Cultural Foundation, implementing and managing several programs that went nationwide. In 1994, she moved to Miami to work on development with the Florida Grand Opera. And later in her career, Ms. Boone was interim director of cultural affairs at Miami-Dade College Wolfson campus. But for the past quarter century, Beth Boone has been executive and artistic director of the Miami Light Project. She is our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat. Beth, it's great to have you back, and welcome again to South Florida Arts Beat. About 18 months ago, you and your organization made a big move into the Lightbox at Goldman Warehouse in Wynwood, and I know that you did a tremendous amount of renovation. Paint a verbal picture for us. What can we expect when we go there?
Well, the Lightbox is a 12,000-square-foot warehouse. It's on Northwest 26th Street. It's got a beautifully painted exterior with a mural by Ellie Sudbrack, so our space forms part of the Wynwood walls. When you go inside, you encounter a lot of different spaces. Everything's kind of a play on the word box. It's the light box. And so you enter through the green box, which is on the, you know, side of the building, and go into the ticket box. And there's this black box theater. It's a 150-seat theater. We have a white box rehearsal room. And then we have gallery space. And we live in our space with some great colleagues, Arts for Learning, M Ensemble Theater Company, Teo Castellanos D Projects, Mad Cat Theater Company. And we have a new tenant, Toto Gonzalez, a.k.a. Mr. Power, who has built a music studio in our space.
Sounds like a multi-arts complex, your own little version of the Kennedy Center. Huh?
It's precisely what it is. Kennedy Center with some edge.
Your new season is well underway, and a big event is set for early December in Wynwood. It's called Glorious Cause, and it's billed as part rock opera and part dance performance. Sounds like a winning combination. What's it going to be like?
Well, the generative artist, Dana Hansen, is a wonderful theater artist, choreographer, filmmaker, musician. She's based in Seattle. I've known her for a number of years. She used to form part of the group called 33 Fainting Spells. And this is the first time we've been able to have her back in, I think, over a decade. And so it's kind of a wild romp through history and a very edgy piece. It's opening our season during Art Basel. The performances are on the 7th and 8th of December, which is a Friday and Saturday night. And it'll be in the midst of a really, really active time in Wynwood, as you can imagine. Our, you know, the second Saturdays have gotten to be just wildly popular. And during Art Basel, we expect an even larger influx of people.
It sounds perfect for the Art Basel crowd in Wynwood. And in January, you've got a dance program, and one of the critics called it, and this is a quote, a Zen garden where the dancers are polished stones placed harmoniously within it. That paints a very lovely and serene verbal picture. Who's going to be starring in it, and who created it?
Well, Kota Yamazaki is the choreographer and one of the lead dancers, and his company is called Fluid Hug Hug. He's from Tokyo, another artist whose work we've followed for many, many years. And not too long ago, a couple of years ago, he moved his company from Tokyo to become a New York-based company. He worked with dancers from all over the world. I think a large number of them would often come out of New York, and for a variety of reasons, that became a great place for him to be based. And so we're really thrilled that he's going to be bringing a piece to our intimate theater. I think that, generally speaking, he has presented in larger kinds of venues, not big ones, but, you know, larger certainly than the Lightbox. But one of the things that we think is so great about our space is that it is so very intimate, and you're right there with the artist, seeing every bead of sweat and every movement of every muscle.
Audience involvement, it sounds terrific. In February, you've got something coming up called Here and Now. Sounds like a greatest hits of your encores. What are some of the best bets for that particular evening?
Well, Here and Now is what we refer to as our signature program at Miami Light Project. Many of the listeners know that some 15 years ago, we established this program called Here and Now as a way to make a bigger investment in the artists who are based in our community. So we commission new work from Miami-based dance, music, theater, multimedia artists. We give them money. We give them rehearsal space. We give them professional development, and then once they create a piece, which we produce and premiere at our space, then we help them to move on and often find engagements in other cities around the country and in many cases around the world. So this year's lineup features artists Shira Abergel, Yvonne Batanero, Leonie Garcia, and Matthew Evan Taylor. And they're all right now in the process of creating these new pieces. They're about 20 minutes in length per artist. And it's a really great evening for Miami-based artists.
It must be very rewarding for you to watch the evolution of these pieces as they come to fruition. You've got something, I love the titles. This one is called Monkey, and it's coming up in late February. It stars a Miami artist, Rudy Goblin. And what's the essence of his piece? Is it really about monkeys?
Well, no. He's actually in the process of creating this piece right now. Rudy is a great example of an artist who I think has benefited greatly from the Here and Now program. He's been a featured artist in Here and Now over a number of years. And I think about 5 years ago, we gave him additional funds to develop a piece that he had established in Here and Now, and it became part one of this trilogy, of which Monkey is now the third piece. So he's premiering it in February. He is just an extraordinary artist. He's a theater artist, a poet, a b-boy, a musician, and he incorporates all of his talents into the pieces that he does. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he comes up with.
That's exciting. So you don't know. You're running the place, and it's going to be a surprise for you, too.
Well, I mean, we have an idea because we were interested enough in being able to move forward with the piece, but he's currently developing it. And one of the things that we've learned with Rudy is that there is a huge evolution from what he proposes to do to what is the final product, and that's actually all good news.
I love the evolution aspect. And there's been one at the North Beach Bandshell. They've had a cleanup there. They've had a new paint job, and you're going to infuse some light at the end of March, I believe, with the Global Cuba Fest. Yeah. I can just hear the beats.
This is going to be our sixth edition of Global Cuba Fest. It's a program that we created and that we present together with Fundarte, which is a wonderful Miami-based organization. And we focus on the music of artists from the Cuban diaspora. So many of the artists live in Cuba. Many of them live in Europe or in Canada. And it's a celebration of Cuban music and all of the genres. The one program that we're focusing on, that Miami Light Project together with Fundarte presents several artists throughout the course of the weekend. I was going to just kind of put a plug in for the Creole Choir of Cuba. Many of the listeners may recall that they were formerly called Grupo Vocal de Sandan. They sing a cappella music. They sing in Creole, in Spanish, and in English. They're like a heavenly choir of just amazing voices. And we're going to have a beautiful Sunday evening concert with them at the Bandshell.
And then your season ends in May. You've got Reggie Watts. I guess he's best described as a jack of all trades or a man for all seasons.
Yes, a madman for all seasons. Reggie has kind of a cult following, I think, all over the Galaxy, and he has the great distinction of being the first artist that he was the inaugural artist for our Lightbox at Golden Warehouse. So we last presented him in May of 2011, sold out shows. The community can't wait to have him back, sort of backed by popular demand performances that happened in May of 2013. And he's, I mean, he's a nut job. He's in every great sense of the word. He's a musician, theater artist, spoken word artist, political commentator, madman.
Madman. That's always a good note to end on. Beth Boone, thank you so much for being with us today on South Florida Arts Beat, and good luck with your season.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You can be part of the excitement as the Miami Light Project presents its fall-winter season. Tickets are available online at miamilightproject.com or by telephone at 305-576-4350. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist and executive producer who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. She has produced documentaries for WNET and is currently a contributor to WLRN-TV, Channel 17. We'll be back with more South Florida Arts Beat exclusively on WLRN right after these messages.
This is South Florida's NPR News Station, 91.3 WLRN. Paul Leary with you this afternoon. Laughing Matters at the Broward Center combines dinner theater with the hilarity of topical satire in a one-of-a-kind evening that everyone may enjoy. Laughing Matters takes on every subject from the latest scandal, social media, current events, to everything in between. Laughing Matters now playing. Tickets at 954-462-0222 or at browardcenter.org.
City Year Miami unites a diverse group of 17 to 24-year-olds for a year of service as tutors, mentors, and role models who make a difference to students and schools. You can learn more online at cityyear.org. City Year. Give a year. Change the world.
If you live in Broward County, WLRN Miami Herald News really needs your help. Please join the Public Insight Network to weigh in on the important issues affecting your community. Signing up is easy and free. Just visit miamiherald.com/insight for details.
It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Executive Director Pamela Dearden describes an exciting new season of Swing presented by the Gold Coast Jazz Society. Today's calendar features Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Interim Director of the Broward County Cultural Division, with enticing events for your consideration. Now we welcome back our film critic, Dan Hudak, with a preview of an exciting upcoming film festival.
Riddle me this, movie fans. How does something grow if it is intended to be short? In the case of the Miami Short Film Festival, which runs November 26th through the 30th, a growing reputation for quality films, events, and parties has placed it near the top of the short film festival circuit during its 10 years, and this year's edition looks to continue that trend. To date, more than 800 short films have been shown during the festival's 10 incarnations, and as in the past, this year's 74 selections will be divided into roughly 90-minute programming blocks for one admission price. There are also Q&As after each block, parties every night, seminars to attend, and much more. Film highlights include Best of Fest nominee Aurora, about a girl who was kidnapped and is trying to move on, Noche Buena, in which a Cuban family deals with its teenage daughter's awkward American boyfriend on Christmas Eve, and Harry Grows Up, about a man who observes how he's changed while growing up in New York City. Here's a listen to the trailer.
New York City, the only home I've ever known. I used to feel small and insignificant among the skyscrapers. But not anymore. Today, when I stop at my favorite storefront and check my reflection in the mirror, it's clear I've changed. That's me, Harry. And as you can see, I'm hopelessly in love.
We recently sat down with the founder of the festival, William Vela, and its director of events, Carla Merrill, to learn more. Welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
More than 700 submissions this year. William, I'm sure you single-handedly go through every single one over a span of, I don't know, a month or two just to narrow things down, right?
More than a month or two. Actually, the submission process starts February 15th, so I have a good 8 months of watching film every day.
And it is you who watches. You don't have a committee. It's you.
We do have a committee, but I kind of go over every single one and, you know, kind of a filter, and then I give it to the committee.
And do you ever find yourself saying, geez, I wish this short film was shorter?
There's nothing worse than a long short, like a friend of mine said, a judge friend of mine.
Well, to that end, the shorts for this festival have to be 20 minutes or less. As a judge from prior years, I know for a fact this wasn't always the case. Why the change this year?
I think the Academy, it says 40 minutes or 30 sometimes.
The Academy standard is 40 minutes 40. For the Oscars.
Someone very well informed on the film area told me that 30, it's not a short film. It's not a long, it's not a short. It's a like middle, it's in the middle. So basically, we just find out that 20 minutes, it's good enough. I mean, for a short film festival, more than 20 minutes, it becomes too much. And plus, we have to give room to the many films that enter in the competition, so that's why.
And it's also interesting how a short film, a 20-minute short, will differ from a 5-minute short because they're still telling complete stories. And that's one point that we emphasize year after year is how short films really do kind of pack a wallop in their allotted, in their time, I should say.
It's a hard craft, and not everybody can do that. But there's some great, great talented people that are able to packed into 7, 8, 5 minutes, a whole plot and history. So yeah, that's the nice thing about a short film.
And you get a full emotional reaction the same way you would from a full narrative, feature length, I should say. Tell us about some of the film highlights this year.
It's interesting, like every year we receive so many films from different countries, almost 26 to 35 countries. I can start it by, you know, if we go down south, Brazil. Não que tudo termine como antes, from Brazil. It's a movie about a couple that decided to end the relationship at their peak. Why? Huh. Because they just don't want love to die.
Because it'll never get better.
It's an interesting concept. Wow. So you're going to see films such as that one from Ecuador, El Último Hielero, The Last Ice Maker.
Ice Maker.
It's a film about this guy that goes up in the mountains in the Andes and bring ice to the town, you know, to make juices and things like that. But it's an interesting concept. I didn't know that you could use that kind of ice, perhaps, you know, say. Yeah.
And it doesn't melt as he's transporting it down.
That's the beautiful part of the movie because he has his own way of bringing it down from 2, 3, 4 hours up in the hill to the closest town. That's a documentary. El Gran Silencio, it's a movie from Honduras that deals with people buying little girls to prostitute them and make business with this. So it's a very political type of film. Everything is a Miracle, also a movie from Honduras. For the first time, we received two films from Honduras, so we're pretty excited. I know the Honduran community here, it's kind of big in Miami. Everything is Incredible is a handicapped man that is building a helicopter in his backyard, so imagine that. Interview, a movie from Germany. It's an amazing film that deals this serial killer, that he's also an actor, so he uses his acting skill to do his act. We also have Going Nowhere, two brothers. One, it's a handicap, wanted to kill himself, and the other one trying to stop him. So Nochebuena, a local film from Miami. Mario Ernesto Sanchez, a very well-known actor, he's in this film.
And it's something I live every year, going to my Cuban wife's Nochebuena. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly, and into picking up of the pork.
and so there's a little bit of everything in terms of what the films offer and the programming. And there's also a heck of a lot of special events going on, which is what Carla is going to tell us about. Carla, we have some really interesting and fun highlights.
Yeah, of course, the main character of this whole production are the movies, but we have developed also a calendar of special events that are worth mentioning because they're so different and they occupy the whole week. For example, on Sunday, November 25th, we have an excellent program for kids, especially for kids at the Miami Children's Museum. For the first year, we're incorporated companies that market specifically to kids, which are going to include their services for free at the festival. So you're going to have kids entertainment, you're going to have films, and you're going to have the whole Miami Children's Museum to enjoy that day.
Good, cool stuff.
That the same night, we're going to have our open air program by the Miami Beach Cultural Affairs Department at the Banshaw in Miami Beach, where you're going to be able for free to enjoy movies in the open. We also have during the week of our wonderful films, but before the films, we'll have seminars, educational seminars. For the first time, we're also doing a series. It's called Made in Miami. It's basically how you bring your film project from an idea to a festival. So we're gonna have people from Film Miami speaking about it. We're going to have professors teaching you how to write a short script. We're going to have, I think, one of the most interesting ones is on Friday, the last day. We have one of the directors for one of our movies coming from Brazil to teach you how to make a score from scratch. Mm-hmm. And audience going to be able to actually make their own score for a movie right there on the spot. So
So
don't miss it. All the seminars are free and they're going to happen at the Coconut Grove Bookstore at the Mayfair right before the first screening. We're going to wrap up our week with an awards party at the Mutiny Hotel on December 1st.
And on the final night, you also have programming called Experimental, Triple X Experimental, and Happy Endings. I have no idea what they're about, but I'm going to be there.
Yeah, experimental. We came up with that title because they're really experimental, you know. I mean, you have to be with your mind open and see all kinds of films, you know, films from repetition, editing. We are films that worth to be seen. And the other title?
The Happy Endings is just because we want to wrap up in a happy note. So you come back next year for our festival. We just selected movies that are just great to watch from different genres. So we hope you make it there and just have a happy ending with us.
And that is also a happy ending for us. William, Carla, thank you for joining us.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dan.
The Miami Short Film Festival runs November 26th through the 30th. Most screenings will be held at the Paragon Grove 13 in Cocoa Walk and Coconut Grove and the Miami Beach Cinematheque in Miami Beach. For more information, go to MiamiShortFilmFestival.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at HudakOnHollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages.
We're funded by listeners like you and by Best Roofing, serving South Florida's commercial, industrial, and condominium community since 1978. Information at 954-941-9111 or bestroofing.net.
It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN. Diane Rehm, one of public radio's most popular personalities, is visiting South Florida to help benefit WLRN Public Media. Join us for dinner with Diane Rehm Friday evening, February 8th, at Fort Lauderdale's Marriott Harbor Beach Resort and Spa. And Saturday morning, February 9th, it's breakfast with Diane Rehm at the Marriott West in Palm Beach. Tickets available now at WLRN.org or at 305-350-7978, rather 305-350-7980.
South Florida Theater League and 91.3 WLRN offer same-day half-price tickets at leading regional theaters and cultural organizations, including the Alliance Theater Lab, Otra Theater Company, Broward Stage Door Theater, and Gable Stage. Information and a complete list of shows online at culturalconnection.org. Culturalconnection.org, your ticket to the cultural arts.
Welcome back to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, our arts calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski with enticing Broward events for your consideration. Now, we catch up with the executive director of arguably South Florida's most successful jazz support nonprofit, the Gold Coast Jazz Society. Located at 1350 East Sunrise Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, their organizational credits include serving over 100,000 children, students who have attended their live jazz programs, awarded over $300,000 in jazz scholarships, and by their calculations, they've touched the lives of over 260,000 people in the past 21 years of the not-for-profit's existence. Their new series started in mid-November and continues on Wednesday, December 12th, with the wonderful jazz vocalist from the Manhattan Transfer, Cheryl Benteen, backed up by the Shelley Berg Trio. Pam Dearden, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Well, thank you very much for having me back.
You know, it's so wonderful to have you join us. I firmly believe the Gold Coast Jazz Society, perhaps I should say arguably, is the finest, most solid jazz organization here in South Florida. 21 years in the making.
21 years this year.
Still with us and teaching kids, which we hope to get into, and presenting great jazz shows every single year. Now, with a person of your background, you sang with the Florida Philharmonic Orchestra Chorus, the Master Chorale of South Florida, your church choir and other local choruses. You also worked with the Florida Philharmonic Orchestra and the Opera Guild of Fort Lauderdale and Florida's Singing Sons Boy Choir. How did you evolve into administrating such a great jazz not-for-profit?
Well, I was with the Philharmonic Orchestra until it unfortunately went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And then there was a need at the Jazz Society for an arts administrator, and I guess I filled the bill.
Yes.
And so I've been there for 9 years now.
So had you always enjoyed jazz, or was that a new love in your musical repertoire?
Well, my husband was a founding board member of the Jazz Society, so I went with him to some concerts.
There you go. Come on, darling. There. Come on.
Please help our
club. That's right. So I have to give him credit for kind of sucking me in here. No, that's not true. No, I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the music, of course, and I had to learn a lot about jazz very quickly, and that was great because I love to learn about different forms of music. So I like all kinds of music.
But you certainly were well educated in arts administration, which puts you a step ahead, because really that's what it's all about. We have declining audiences in opera, going to museums, in jazz and classical, and you have to deal with that. How might you deal with that these days?
Well, we try to do a lot of different things. We do try to present some younger artists on our concert series that might be attractive to a younger demographic. And then we do take programs out to schools to teach kids about jazz. We have the First Friday Jazz Jam free outreach so that people can come and experience jazz for free, you know, get some idea if they like it or not. And then we try to encourage them to come to concerts and support our different endeavors. So we're doing like everybody else, trying to reach that younger demographic.
And trying to build audiences of the
future. Absolutely.
Are these kids showing up in your audiences for your main concerts?
Yes, sometimes.
Slowly but surely, perhaps?
Slowly but surely. Of course, a lot of our concerts are midweek, so that isn't easy for them being a school night. But we're trying to have some concerts on Friday nights and encourage them. And with one of our artists, we're going to work with a couple of schools to do a master class with them before the concert. And hopefully they'll stay and get to see the artist in action. So that just some of the things we're trying to do.
Well, I understand the Gold Coast Jazz Society has given away over $300,000 in scholarships. Pam, that is amazing. Tell us more about that.
Well, that was all due to a bequest from a jazz devotee called Jeanette Russell. Her name was Jeanette Russell, and she was fondly known as Lady Jazz around the country. And she supported jazz musicians who needed help. She went to every festival and all sorts of concerts, and we were the very lucky recipient of some of her money, which helped us establish the scholarship program. So we're fortunate we are able to fund, I'd say, between $35,000 and $40,000 a year in scholarships for kids to actually go to jazz camps in the summer if they're in high school or middle school, and then some tuition assistance for college students.
How are those students chosen?
There's an audition process. Well, first they submit an application and they're screened for financial need, and then we have a competition with a panel of accomplished musicians as judges, and then we select about 24, 25 kids a year to receive the scholarship awards. And for example, one of our students, Russell Hall, is going to Juilliard as a bassist, and another one of our former students is going to the Manhattan School of Music, Patrick Bartley. He was a saxophonist. So
what great success stories.
Yeah, we're really proud.
I think Miles went to Juilliard.
I'll have to check that out. I don't know.
Well, this is really wonderful. Any new programs that you will be instituting to further your mission?
No, you know, with the state of the economy and the state of grant funding and everything, we haven't really tried to do something new as far as a new project. We're just trying to hold our own and keep what we've got going, running. So, you know, grant funding's declining for everybody, and so it's a challenge out there to just keep your operations going and you're paying your artists and keep everything online. So if we do anything new, it's kind of in a small way. We did do a kind of an interesting fundraiser last week. We had a Art of Jazz pub crawl at the North Beach Arts District in Fort Lauderdale, which is Northeast 33rd Street and A1A. There's a little area with galleries and restaurants where Blue Jean Blues is.
It's a great area.
Yeah, so we got about eight of the merchants, including Blue Jean Blues, to participate. So we had about 80 people come and support jazz.
And you went from one club to another?
One club to another and galleries.
That's a great new program.
So we thought that would be fun because we need to find new and inventive ways to raise money. So we had a good time with that.
Is your membership continuing to grow, or has it become stagnant?
It grows a little bit every year. Mm-hmm. As our subscriber base is about the same, however, we find we sell more single tickets, actually, than ever before. So that's pretty common, though, I think, in the world of opera, symphony, and jazz, the concert series world. So we do what we can to encourage people to buy tickets, become subscribers, become members.
And to do that, you can call 954-524-0805 and perhaps talk to our guest, Pam Dearden, the executive director of the Gold Coast Jazz Society, or go online at goldcoastjazz.org. Pam, in our final moments, I want to go through your upcoming concert series now. It's already started, but coming up on Wednesday, December 12th, one of my favorite singers from one of my favorite jazz groups.
Cheryl Benteen.
She's just superb.
Yeah, we're really excited to be able to present her, and her backup is going to be the Shelleyberg Trio.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's wow. What a great concert that's going to be. So we're really excited. And she's singing the music of Cole Porter, so it's a win-win.
Yeah.
And that's her latest CD features Cole Porter's music, so that she loves Cole Porter, and she says it's a thrill to sing his music, so we're really looking forward to having her.
She's a great booking.
Yeah.
Now, Wednesday, January 9th, another great booking, the great trumpet player John Faddis with his quartet playing from Armstrong to Faddis.
Right. Something for everybody.
And Friday, February 8th, going to the Mardi Gras with, you pronounce his name for me?
Michael Casehammer.
Thank you very much. I might have botched it.
Michael's from Canada, and he's a real rising star in the Canadian jazz world. And they call him a triple threat as far as the fact that he's a pianist, a vocalist, and has great charisma. Hmm. And it's Mardi Gras time, and he's going to do a little boogie-woogie jazz. New Orleans is his kind of place, so that should be exciting. He's a young guy. He's probably in his early 30s, so we're hoping that appeals to a younger audience, and that's over at Parker Playhouse.
Now, one of my favorite vocalists, a former South Floridian, Alan Harris, is coming into town to perform for the Gold Coast Jazz Society Wednesday, March 6th at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. That bill will be the music of Nat King Cole, and in our remaining few seconds, the Bill May Trio on Friday, April 12th, and you wrap it up with South Florida Jazz Divas and your Gold Coast Jazz Society band by request. Whom might those divas be?
Wendy Peterson and Paulette Dozier.
Wow.
Yeah, it should
be
a great
Paulette
concert.
Paulette has such a great success with her Billie Holiday show. I'm hearing about it from everywhere.
Yeah.
And Wendy is this area's, I'm going to get in trouble here, but I love her. She's this area's finest jazz vocalist and endeavors in pop and R&B. She's just magnificent.
Yeah.
So what a smash season coming up for the Gold Coast Jazz Society. Already underway, so get your tickets, 954-524-0805. And once again, more information at the goldcoastjazz.org website. And Ms. Pam Dearden, thank you so much for ushering along an incredible jazz society, and good luck to you all in the future.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show again, and I appreciate all the support of WLRN. They're great.
We're funded by listeners like you and by Art Miami and the inaugural Context Art Miami Fairs, December 4th through 9th. 190 international galleries offering cutting-edge modern and contemporary art and curated indoor and outdoor projects. Details at artmiami.com.
Support for 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM comes in part from Miami-Dade County Public Schools, helping to provide a public service for all of South Florida.
Mysteriously green hair, the hairy physics of ponytail motion, and measuring the universe for a dress fitting. Yeah, it could only be the Ig Nobel Prizes. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for our annual tradition, highlights from the prize ceremony, honoring strange, silly, and sometimes serious science, all on Science Friday from NPR.
Talk of the Nation Science Friday is coming up next at 2 o'clock here on 91.3 WLRN.
And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome Jody Horn-Leschinski, Interim Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Great to have you back with us today, Jody.
Oh, it's great to be here, and let me just say, Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, the listeners, and to you and your families.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, and back to you. So what's up in Broward County?
Well, we have so much going on, but let's start with business first. We have a cultural diversity incentive program application workshop that will be held for eligible not-for-profit cultural organizations on Friday, November 30th at 2 p.m. on the seventh floor of the Broward County Main Library. And the Cultural Diversity Program assists not-for-profit cultural organizations whose primary mission is cultural and develops and sustains the cultures, arts, and artists that are rooted in and reflective of the cultural heritage and traditions of the community. The application deadline is January 15th for the fiscal year 2014 funding cycle. There's no fee for the workshop, but we would prefer that you do RSVP in advance so that we know who is coming, and you can RSVP on our website, broward.org/arts. The Broward Cultural Division's Public Art and Design Program is seeking a professional Florida artist for an artist-in-residence project at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. The selected artists will memorialize the development and construction of the South Runway and Terminal 4 expansion, and also the transformation of the airport and the surrounding areas. And they can do that through different artistic forms, and it could be photography or painting, sculpture, installation art, writing or video, or a combination of any of those genres. And the South Runway is expected to be completed in September of 2014. Throughout the residency, artists will be expected to conduct outreach activities so that they're interacting with the public at the airport and openly communicate the development of the artwork. And these activities might include exhibitions, demonstrations, or lectures, and a temporary space in one of the terminals may be available for the artist as a hub for this project. And then at the end of the residency, the artist or artists will have completed an artwork representing their residency, which will be installed at the airport and added to the airport's permanent public art collection. The application deadline is December 7th, and to see the full version of the call, you can go to the Broward Cultural Division's website at broward.org/arts, A-R-T-S. Just as a side note, there are 54 artworks located throughout the four terminals, and that represents roughly 23% of Broward County's public art collection. That's the highest concentration of artworks within a single site. And you can view the public art on the website, or we can send you our brand new public art map and guide to the airport art. You just need to call the office at 954-357-7457.
That's a great offering.
It's a great public art map, too. We're very proud of it. Now, just 2 weeks ago, we had artist Bill Buchan do an educational outreach event during the unveiling of the new artwork, Pompano Drum Circle, which was designed by both Bill and Mary Buchan. This was commissioned through the Public Art and Design Program, and the artwork is comprised of five stainless steel drums. Buchan led a hands-on percussion workshop, and that demonstrated how the artwork is played. And then he also talked about musical instruments from around the world. The community was invited to a jam session, which took place after the opening ceremony of the new Northeast Transit Center, which is located in Pompano Beach. Everyone was invited to bring their own percussion instruments, and some people did. And my counterpart, who you know very well from Palm Beach, Mr. Bill Nix, was there, and he was out there drumming. It was a lot of fun.
You've got to send me a picture.
Well, you can go to Facebook and you can see it. I posted it out there.
That's great.
So drawing upon the musical traditions of the diverse cultures represented in the Pompano Beach community, the Pompano Drum Circle is intended to connect these traditions through the universal language of rhythmic percussion. And these five sculptural instruments invite communal music making while the passengers are waiting for their bus. And the different components include the earth drum, the earth bow, the djembe, the tambour, and the bata drums. So recently, Broward Cultural Division installed QR codes, or QR is short for quick response codes. They've been installed on artworks
throughout the park system, the library system, and aviation. But the newest ones were just installed at the parks. And this allows someone with a cell phone that has a smartphone, actually, to scan the QR code, and then it takes you directly to the Broward Cultural Division's website where that particular artwork is located, and you can get much, much more detailed information about that public artwork. You can get information about the artist, about the medium that it was created in, the venue where it's located, and even the artist's biography or the artist's statement. So very, very helpful tools.
Thanks for that great information, Jody. How about cultural events in Broward County?
Oh, we have so many coming up this weekend. So this weekend you can spend the weekend enjoying babies, blooms, and butterflies from noon to 4 p.m. at the Museum of Discovery and Science in AutoNation IMAX Theater. You can learn about beautiful flowers that make the air smell sweet and discover which arthropods help to pollinate crops and flowers and even get the opportunity to release a butterfly. That sounds like fun to me.
Oh, yeah.
The Delray String Quartet will perform on Friday evening along with violinists Mai Mai Lau, Thomas Kotick, Richard Fleischman, and cellist Claudio Yaffe at the All Saints Episcopal Church. You can enjoy selections from Johann Strauss, Beethoven, and so much more. South Florida Jazz presents the Gonzalo Rubalcaba Trio on Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Mineachi Performing Arts Center. The conservatory-trained master pianist has integrated huge swaths of the European classical and jazz traditions while maintaining deep ties to the rhythmic currents of his Cuban homeland. Initially coming to international prominence under the aegis of bassist Charlie Hayden, with whom he recorded extensively, Rubalcaba has now earned 15 Grammy nominations, winning 2 Grammys and 2 Latin Grammys. The Josephine S. Leiser Opera Center hosts the Chameleon String Trio on Sunday at 3 p.m. The program consists of trios by Schnittke and Beethoven with Misha Wittinson, Michael Klotz, Iris Van Eck, the Souk Piano Quartet with guest pianist Stephen Swedish. The Jewish Book Festival Book and Author Luncheon will take place on November 28th at the David Posnack Jewish Community Center, featuring Alicia Altuski. Precious Objects, A Story of Diamonds, Family, and a Way of Life is the book that Alicia wrote, and she's the daughter of a diamond dealer, and she will provide a fascinating look at one of the country's most private business neighborhoods, the famed Diamond District of New York City. The book traces her own family's diamond-paved move from communist Siberia to a displaced persons camp in post-World War II Germany, to New York's Diamond District. From November 27th to December 9th, you are invited to the wildest divorce party ever.
No.
Divorce Party, the musical, The Hilarious Journey to Hell and Back, will take place at Parker Playhouse. The producer that brought you the off-Broadway hit Menopause, the musical now celebrates starting over, getting stronger, and finding humor in heartbreak. The Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life, gets a makeover with David Sexton and Albert Evans' loose and merry musical romp from November 28th through December 2nd at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. It's a Fabulous Life leads character Joe, who is having a very rough holiday season, and he is starring in the Lavender Players production of Randolph the Rainbow Reindeer. Family tensions and backstage backstabbing cause him to wish he had never been born gay. That's when an angel named Arthur comes and shows him how different things would be if he had been born straight. Kick off the holiday season with a visit to historic Stranahan House Museum to experience its special Victorian Christmas display. The house, the oldest structure in Broward County and the home of Fort Lauderdale's first family, Ivy and Frank Stranahan, is decorated from top to bottom in Victorian splendor, transporting visitors back to an elegant era of the past. Guided tours are offered daily at 1, 2, and 3 p.m., and the house is also available for private holiday parties. If you would like more cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, South Florida's guide to arts and culture. Never miss a thing. get there.
And that's the always informative Jody Horn-Leschinski, Interim Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Jody, thanks for all of that great information, and have a super holiday weekend.
Thank you, Ed, and you too.
There'll be a full day of events as the Village of El Portal presents Little River Celebration and 75th Anniversary, December 8th from 7 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. There'll be bird tours, History of the River lecture, a river serenade on canoes and kayaks, Little River Parade, and a family picnic and concert. For more information, go to elportalvillage.com or elportalale.org. That's ELPORTALALE.org for more information. Also, we'd like to let you know that the critically acclaimed film, Jen Silent, addresses issues and a local panel offers solutions in the South Florida free screening Tuesday, November 27th at 7:30 p.m. at the Miami Theater Center, 9806 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Miami Shores. Call 305-573-6477 for more information. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Paul Leary, and our contributors, Judith Bishop, Dan Hudak, and Jody Horn-Leschinski. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax your event information to us at 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great holiday weekend, and as always, please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.
You are listening to 91.3 WLRN HD1, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and the Palm Beaches. We are also 91.5 WKWM HD1, Marathon, Key West, streaming live at WLRN.org.